Everyone, welcome to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. We're here today as the first part of our line-by-line series to chat through the defenders. And I'm here with Liam and Will. Liam, how's it going?
It's good. There's a lot of nervous energy. It's like sitting when you had like exam season and you had your first exam come up. You're like, oh, like I've got a lot that I know, but a lot of nervousness around getting it all out at the right time. So I'm excited, but like also a bit scared.
Yeah, I definitely can feel that. What about you, Will?
Yeah, it's super exciting. But yeah, there's a lot to think about. There's lots of big decisions to be made. And much like the terrifying exam, you know all the information, but getting it all out right is going to be the challenge.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if I've got all the information fresh in my mind. Like, we've been doing these clubs and review episodes, and there's a few clubs I haven't really looked too deeply into yet. So I'm like, ooh, might be some surprises here for me. But, yeah, ready to chat defenders and kind of pull all the clubs together and pick out the top few defenders. So, starting off, a bit of a lay of the land of the defender line coming into this season. They're about 30% of the players are defenders, so that's we've got 166 players to choose from. 18% of the rookies, though, so only a handful of rookies here, 11 to choose from specifically. The defenders are moderately high scoring, kind of similar to the forwards here. So the maximum score that we had last season from a defender, or an average, sorry, was 82 from Matty Gay.
Yeah, and it was also quite interesting because we only had two defenders that averaged over 80, which was Matty Gay and Tilly Lucasrod. The jump then went down to Charlie Thomas at 70. So those two were 10 points higher than any other defender.
We're also in the
really
season.
Really big.
We've also got a season this year where the two highest averaging defenders from last year were also actual, like, pure defenders. There weren't, like, defenders playing in the midfield.
Yeah, which is interesting. And then so one of those being Matty Gay had the highest score of any defender in round 10 last year with 124. So we've got a pretty good ceiling here for defenders. But the defenders as a bunch are really bottom heavy. So over 60% of all defenders are priced at 40 or less. So we've got a long tail there to choose from. And with only 11 of those being rookies, there's a lot of kind of mid-price madness options for us to pick from. And then very skinny on the top, as both of you guys said, only 6% of players above 60 and a big jump between the top two and the step down to the 70. So, and then interestingly, even within the top defenders from last season, one of them is inactive with Daisy Darcy. So there's only a real small handful of top defenders to be picking from. And that we have Will today with the pleasure of picking who he thinks will be the top defenders for this coming season.
Yeah, the top two, I think, are fairly straightforward, and that's the two who did average over 80. My number one is Tilly Lucasrod. I'm a really big fan of Tilly Lucasrod and what they did last year. Priced slightly cheaper than Matty Gay, averaged 80.5. The reason I've picked Tilly Lucasrod as my number one ahead of Matty Gay is I think that they have a much better chance of increasing their average compared to Matty Gay. I think it's probably, you know, much of a muchness between the two otherwise, but I mean, Tilly Lucasrod really stood out in that role in the back half of last year. They've also very excitingly had top surgery in the offseason, and they've said that they are feeling as fit and as running as well as they ever have, which gives me a little bit of hope that they can increase their average a little bit. But between Tilly Lucasrod and Matty Gay, there's, you know, going to be a very small price difference, 2 points in terms of average. I think they're a pretty clear top two.
Yeah, a lot of, like, what comes down to being a good AFLW player and almost fantasy as well is, like, that mindset piece. And if you're feeling yourself and you're in the right body, you're going to come in full of energy. Obviously, role is a part of it, but, like, that makes me – that's a really good, like, extra boost for TLR, I reckon.
I just want to say one thing. Like, I think they're both going to be up there in the rankings. I will just say about Tilly Lucasrod, their last three average was 54. Now, that does include two finals. But that tells me that maybe there was an over-reliance on ball out of halfback. And I wouldn't be shocked if Hawthorn is someone that looks to try and change what they did at the back end of last year. So I actually prefer Matty Gay, and if as well, because I really think that I really just think that there's a world where the Bombers are going to be even worse this year and even more reliant on the ball in their defense. Just because we're missing, we're just
that
missing
pained
rough,
you
right?
to say.
Like we know that Matty Gay is going to be the main funnel out of defence, and without a ruck, we saw what happened in that final against Fremantle. We just got monstered. So at least for the first bit of the season, I actually think Matty Gay would be the person I'd pick to go D1.
Mm, yeah, lean starting top end.
I think it's really, as you said, they're the clear top two, and I think it's splitting hairs for me in terms of what it'll be at the end of the year, but it would not surprise me at all that Matty Gay would continue to be the number one averaging defender, not in the slightest. I think number three for me is also fairly clear. I've got Charlie Thomas out of West Coast, just been named co-captain, priced at an average of 70, which is still a fair way above the next best. There's a bit of a logjam between sort of 67 and 57 after Charlie Thomas, so I think Charlie Thomas is number three. I've done something a little bit controversial and left out the next highest averaging player, which I'm looking forward to hearing Liam's input on very shortly, but I've actually put someone a little bit different as my number four, which is Jade Allinger from the Brisbane Lions. So Allinger played a lot along the wing and a lot on half back. I think Brisbane will be really looking to use that speed off half back. She averaged 63.5 last year. An interesting option if you are looking for a slightly cheaper, maybe starting D1, but probably more likely a D2. I really like the way Jade Allinger's been playing at the moment.
I'm just sitting here thinking that Jade Allinger's super value if she regains that CBA role she had in the final season last year. So average over 70 across her last three games. So that's like the final series. She'd actually been the kind of speed player that had replaced Courtney Hodder a little bit in the midfield, as well as Kathy Spark. So Jade Allinger is someone that I think that if she has that 30-40% CBA role, we know that she's a more than competent player. She kind of came back in after having been dropped last year and looked better than ever. So I actually think she could be far closer to a 70 average again.
Yeah, I completely agree. They're a player that Brisbane want the ball in the hands of, which is why I'm really interested in her, probably as my D2. At number five of my top five, I've gone with an old reliable Emma Swanson, who moved back into that back line last year, averaged 51 last year. But the thing that I really like about Emma Swanson is Emma Swanson knows how to get the ball, and there's definitely a chance that she could go back to averaging, even if she goes just to 70 as opposed to the 90 that we know back in the days, that still gives her a chance to be in the top five.
Yeah, I think that's a really solid pick, and actually she's might be my lock for later on. But like you said, she's experienced, and it's only her second season really playing through that defence. I think she said it's her kind of first preseason or second preseason in that role. So if she can apply all of her footy knowledge and really kind of lift that and get more comfortable in the role, I think that she's got there's a big gap between the 58 she's priced at now and the 93 we know she's capable of, even though they are in different roles, so she can keep pushing forward. I think she'll definitely have a lot of headroom on her this season.
Yeah, I think her average was also really dragged down quite a bit by what really was pretty much two bad scores, one against GWS where she scored 40 and the final score of 38 against Sydney in the final round. Other than that, she was usually pretty good for a 60 every week. And that's already a really good start.
My big question with West Coast is whether or not that defense can maintain two good scorers, because I'm fairly confident that Charlie Thomas is the number one ball user off halfback for them. And then also just looking at the way that they play under Daisy Pierce, it's a very Melbourne, and in turn by being Melbourne, a Darabin way of playing, which is to completely de-identify the players in the system, and it's all about your role and it's all about where you are and making sure you implement that system as often as possible. They are truly trying to push away from any junk off halfback. I think Charlie Thomas gets to 70 because she's just such a natural accumulator. So I am wary. Like, I love Emma Swanson's ceiling, and I think if even if it's a 20% CBA role, she could absolutely be value. I'm just going to be watching intently in the preseason whether or not there are any more marks across halfback, or if someone like Swanson is pushing up higher up the ground to the back of stoppages, which will boost her score.
Yeah, and the thing about Swanson's role that I actually really like is because she is that senior player who can read the play, she is a player that's often tasked with running back hard to intercept or at least help out in the defense. So I think that's something that another season, preseason's worth of work will probably help her in terms of the scoring. But you're right, Liam. You're not 100% certain with how that goes, but I had to put her in there because the potential to just even jump mm-hmm. that average by 10 points is so clearly there. So
yep.
I've put Emma Swanson there for that reason. My honorable mention, I've put Emma Carney because Emma Carney just is always a good scorer. It's what Emma Carney does. And if it wasn't for an injury last year, she probably would have been in the top averaging players around a 70 again. However, surely time has to come for Emma Carney at some stage. They've just recruited arguably the best intercept and running player they possibly could in Eilish Sheeran.
Mm-hmm.
Surely this is the year where Emma Carney at least drops a little bit, right?
I feel like we've been saying that for many years and she's just so uber consistent. So, you know, I wait till I see it. But, yeah, I mean, everything we've seen from her suggests she's going to be reliable once more.
She's got that ability to completely quarterback the entirety of North Melbourne. Now, obviously the fact that Sheeran has arrived and also Nicole Bresnahan is someone that we have been intently watching for a long time to kind of take up a role off halfback. There's definitely a possibility that Carney takes a drop. It's just the fact that she's going to be priced at 60 and without those two kind of low tog games. So she gets injured against Richmond. She therefore scores a 2 and then she comes back in the final against Port Adelaide and has a 25 and only 30% tog, 38% time on ground. You remove that, she averages 72. That's enough.
Yeah, so I think there's plenty of like both value and clearly good options up the top there to be in that potential top five. I guess now we'll talk a little bit about the undervalued primos. And the next player that we're going to talk about, I'm going to throw this one to you, Liam, is less undervalued in terms of the average and their price, but undervalued because I've completely blanked them.
Yeah, it's rude. It's Serene Watson. She was the player to have after round 3 last year. Comes in priced at 67. So nearly, you know, 160, 170K cheaper than Tilly Lucas-Rodd and Maddie Gay. And outside of her first 2 games, basically where she was playing a different role, she then has, you know, a 10 coach vote performance against Essendon for her best score of the year. She was awesome. She averaged 74, basically. That is more than enough value and would put her comfortably inside that top 5. And I think it's an outrage that she's not in there in the first place. I also think we've just kind of seen that St Kilda lack someone that has the skill set that Serene Watson has. Like Hannah Priest plays a medium defender role now. B. Jacobson is no longer, you know, an accumulator in any sense. I really don't see where else the scoring is going to come from St Kilda. And you know, she's got a complete lock on kick-ins. She's a beautiful kick, beautiful intercept mark. I think that she's got Charlie Thomas-like potential for her scoring. So I'm super hot on Serene Watson and outraged for all the massive number of St Kilda fans that we have fostered at free kick for our known love of the St Kilda Football Club.
Yeah, I think I just wanted to do that to make you have to speak positively of St Kilda, Liam.
And look, that will be the last nice thing Liam says about St Kilda all season.
Possibly. Look, it's an outrage that it took them 2 weeks to actually give her the role that she was meant to have in the first place and had in the preseason. But, you know, credit to Nick where it's due. He decided and realised that absolutely if they were going to try and win games, and they did kind of win some games last year, more than I was anticipating, it was off the back of a breakout from Serene Watson.
Yeah, so the player I've put down as undervalued has a similar story in that they already had a pretty good breakout season last year, and I've gone with Maeve Chaplin, who's priced at 52.4. She's an exciting pick. She's also someone we might be hearing from later in the season, so stay tuned. But, Yeah, in going into her third season, she increased her average by about 20 points already last year when she took on that lead in set role after we saw Maddie Gay, who's, you know, a high-scoring defender, depart to Essendon, and then Libby Birch, who we're not really necessarily talking about in this episode, but also a great intercept defender, went over to North. And Melbourne don't look like they're going to be making a lot of changes this season. I think they'll be keeping things fairly well consistent. So Maeve's kind of position and role scoring potential remain the same. And she really proved herself as a vital cog in that back line, especially with her kicking efficiency. So if we have a look at what she managed to pull together last season, she had a couple of low scores in there, but she had three 70s in a row, which is consistent and like very top end scoring for a defender. You know, another preseason under her belt, working her butt off again. I can see Maeve Chaplin with a bit of headroom there. So I think she's pretty undervalued, I'd say. Yes?
I'm just so curious to know whether or not she'll get the role because Danielle Ponta, because what she did against Danielle Ponta when they played Adelaide, playing a lockdown role on the best forward for opposition teams. So that allowed Talia Gillard to just play on tools and zone off and intercept. Chaplin was the lockdown. And that happened right after those 370s. I am fascinated. I think that she is a high 60s averaging player if allowed to play a less lockdown, more distributive role higher up the ground. I actually would hope that there might be some changes at Melbourne that would give Maeve greater capacity to move higher up the ground. I thought she looked excellent. I'm just not sure if that's going to happen. Taylor Harris is maybe one that plays in defence, but sounds like and that's something that was mooted beginning of last year, but it sounds like she's going to play forward at least to start the year. So it's definitely a watch on Maeve. We know she's got scoring capacity. It's just, will she be given the role?
Yeah, for sure. And we should also say that we've just gone through two options that are not just great options, but options that you may hear a little bit more about later in our team reviews when we get to those clubs. But I can't offer a third one because my player that I'm offering as an underpriced premium is Emma O'Driscoll from Mel's Fremantle. Average 59 last year, has generally speaking been a really consistent defender option for us, but started last year quite slow. First round a 23, then a 57, but built up from there, a couple of 40s, but for the most part was able to score pretty consistently at or above 60. It's important to note that the reason she started slowly last year is that in the preseason, she had her leg pretty much slashed open by a teammate's boot and missed a fair bit of the opening parts of the preseason because of it. Didn't play any of the practice matches, anything like that. So coming off an All-Australian season, not ideal. I think she's a player that can definitely get into that mid to high 60s range. Probably not quite as much value as, say, a Maeve Chaplin, but I think a very consistent option nonetheless.
Yeah, definitely agree. I saw you picked her first and I was like, damn, I wanted to mention Emma O'Driscoll, but glad to see that she's been on the undervalued primo section. And then we've got a few honourable mentions. We are always suckers and have a long list of honourable mentions, even though we try to stick to one player each. Liam, who have you got for yours?
Elizabeth Giorgio Stathis. You'll hear more. I want to talk more about Western Bulldogs later because there's someone I actually think who's more value. But just safe to say that there was a massive change in their ball movement style. They were really looking to possess it out of halfback. Giorgio Stathis had a single digit score in round one, and outside of that, averaged over 60. She's going to be priced at 56. I am well hot on the idea of picking at least one Bulldogs defender. So she's cheap enough, and I think she could go high 60s.
The one that we've got here is Ella Heads. I think she's quite an interesting one. There's someone that we would have been quite excited about whenever we see defender move. So Ella Heads left Sydney, now at Port Adelaide, and priced at 60.5. Coming in with quite an experienced, coming in as quite an experienced player here. And we've seen Ange Foley retire in the off season. So a nice slot for her potentially. But then we've also got this, which Port Adelaide defender might we pick? Because we also saw a really good season from Molly Brooksby last year. So little bit conflicted now as to which of these Port Adelaide defenders we might be picking. Can't say I'm too sure yet.
Yeah, I think this is certainly one that's going to be very important to watch the preseason. Who's getting those kickouts? What sort of role are they actually playing in that back line? Because if, you know, if Heads becomes an actual lockdown defender, that's a terrible thing for our fantasy teams. Whereas if maybe Brooksby's the one that gets shunted into a more defensive role, a player who we thought might be good value might not be such good value. So it'll be interesting to see how that Port back line shapes up.
And also we just need to see Port change their game plan. They average like a metre per disposal on average more than any other team in the AFLW. So they kick it long and they don't look to mark. I think they had like nearly like 60% of their possessions are contested. Like they're not looking to accumulate off halfback. I think that's the problem as well for Heads and for Brooksby.
Yes, and just one more flag quickly on here. Some of you might be looking down the list and say, oh, Chantel Emmonson is a solidly priced defender at 54.7. Could she be a good pick? Probably not. She will be inactive for the season as well as Daisy Darcy. So don't be picking either of those guys. Having a look at some mid-priced options, as we said, there's a lot to be picking from here. Will, why don't you run us through your pick?
Yes, the player I've picked is Gab Pound, a player that the longtime fantasy players amongst us will know and love, who has been both a very, very good player in our back lines and one of the most frustrating ones for that brief period where she ended up as a small forward for some reason, which was incredibly frustrating. But basically priced at just over 50. There's not a whole lot of experience in that Blues back line now that Karen Peterson's not there. So it's probably going to come down to her being the only genuine kick-out option. We talk a little bit about this in the Carlton episode, but basically when Karen Peterson wasn't playing last season, Gab Pound took almost all the kickouts, and that was a huge increase in scoring for the most part. So with Karen Peterson out, I think there's a fair bit of value in Gab Pound.
Checks out. And the benefit of Karen Peterson being out is that we don't have to pick both of them and have confusion about which of those two Carlton defenders we put in our sides, which has been a constant battle. I've gone with Lucy Cronin, who's priced at 46.2 from Collingwood. She's coming into her second season at the Pies. And in that 46.2 from her first season, there's a couple of low 30s at the start, where she was kind of finding her feet. But her season was a bit of a story of two halves. She really kind of grew off halfback last season in that rebound defender role, and we saw some like pretty good 55s or so at the back end of the season. So with a ceiling of 81, she looks like she's got a lot of room to grow. She's had time to train again in her second preseason. There's once again a big gap between 46 and 81, but if she can lift her average another 15 so points, I reckon she's going to be a great pick. And only coming in at 46 is not too bad.
And they've got no defenders left at Collingwood, really. They've like lost Stacey Livingston. Like they're really going to be struggling to find a distributor out of there. Ruby's gone back to the midfield. I'm interested by Cronin 100%.
I was about to say, they've got plenty of defenders. They're all just playing up the ground because you've got Geordie Allen on a wing. You've got Ruby Slicer playing through the midfielder. All their tall defenders are just stuck in the midfield.
Well, like, you know, yes, correct. But apparently Sam Wright has decided that, no, they're not defenders anymore. They are now pure mids. And so Cronin's the only one left. But that's probably actually the thing to mention, right? Like, I think Cronin's score will tank if Allen or Slicer becomes the main distributor.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see it being Sasha, but yes, I guess that is something to watch.
Just want a best and fairest as a midfielder. I'm likely to be all right, that's enough. See ya. Back to the back line.
Crazier things have happened, but yes, I agree. It's less likely for Ruby, more likely for Allen, who we know has been like a 60s before, probably not as a pure accumulator. But like, I just think that with these, like, you know, Collingwood finished last, they're probably still going to be experimenting with balance. We know that Tani White has been training in defence to start this year as like a medium tall, even though I don't think she's very tall. So like, it's just a lot of instability that, yeah, I love Lucy Cronin's ceiling. I just don't know how much I trust Collingwood.
Well, let's move over to a club that you do trust then. Who's your pick?
Oh, yeah, I trust them massively. So my pick here is Maggie Gorham from the Western Bulldogs, priced at 48.7, so that's 631K. I already kind of mentioned it with Elizabeth Georgiou-Stathis, but the shift in game plan under Tam Hyatt in the kind of final five games of the season when the Western Bulldogs kind of went from, I would not want to say this lightly, a bit of a laughing stock in their game against Essendon into a side that was able to actually win and be competitive. I think their performance against St Kilda was one that really showed what the Western Bulldogs can do. We saw the best performances from Georgiou-Stathis, Gorham, Jess Fitzgerald, all of whom were kind of playing as accumulators off halfback, really looking to try and keep the ball off the opposition and still find really natural pockets of space. So Gorham was someone who kind of had been averaging like in the low 40s up until that kind of final portion of the season. And then once we got to those final three and five games, she basically became like a 67, 68 averaging defender. And then Georgiou-Stathis was like a 71, 72. Both of whom therefore mean there's like maybe 14, 15 points of value for each of them. I really think that if that game plan sticks, this is the well that I'll be going to. Now, like, I haven't done a forensic investigation of the run that they've got to start the year, which will almost certainly impact what they average. But just on a first principles basis, team that did not finish very highly on the ladder will hopefully have a relatively easy schedule. So I'm definitely going to the well on the Western Bulldogs as well. And that means that I think that, yeah, Gorham is 100% on my list quite highly at the moment to pick to start the year.
Yeah, I like it. And then we have a few honourable mentions here. We've already spoken a little bit about Molly Brooksby. Lily Postlethwaite, Liam?
Lily Postlethwaite? Yeah, look, I'm all about it. It's another one who's priced below 50. We know who's got midfielder skills, kind of moved to the half back line towards the back end of the year, almost to replace Jade Ellinger. So, yeah, 100%. She's another player that's on my list. I'm just not sure where she fits into that scoring lineup. I think she might be a third or fourth banana.
Banana? What does that mean?
As in, like, it's just parlance in the fantasy space. Like, oh, you got the first banana, you got your second banana, third banana. It's just your position in the pecking order. Have you not heard that turn of phrase before?
Clearly not. I don't normally have four bananas in one sitting, such to get to the fourth banana. Okay, very cool. And then we also have Beth Schilling here, listed priced at 39.1. She's someone that we saw a good back end of the season from at West Coast, but I think she has a few kind of question marks around her still. But yes, she is a medium priced pick. And Will, were there any honourable mentions from you?
None from me. I'm happy to move into the even cheaper options.
Yes, the cash cow section. So these are for the bottom priced picks. And to kick us off, I've gone with Lara Hausinger from Sydney. I believe that's how that's pronounced. Priced, oh gosh, now I've got my tongue tied. Priced at 30.7. Pardon, Liam. That was a last-minute chime in. I'm not sure if your internet's in line. So she's someone we heard from an interview that you guys will be hearing later from Emma Swanson. No, from Lucy McAvoy. Sounds like she'll be floating forward a bit and definitely a lock for game time. Sounds like she's been training particularly hard but also in a lot of different roles, taking her training to the next level. She's medium-bodied defender at the Swans coming into her second season. Although she's only priced at 30.7, it sounds like she's got a pretty decent ceiling and is kind of putting in the work and the positioning to get up to that ceiling of 55 or so. I think it'll be kind of watched to see how she's looking at the start of the season, but sounds like she's got a lot of headroom there.
And I also think that we already kind of spoken about the person that needs to be replaced, and that's Ella Heads. So there will be points back in defence for Sydney to be taken up by someone. Now, I don't know how comfortable I am saying it will be a rookie, but it's a good sign that Lucy McAvoy the triple threat, triple position player that she is pretty hot on House Hegger being someone who can improve. So, you know, we, Mel, you already kind of talked about it. We're not, this is the toughest line to pick rookies. You're kind of looking for those second year players who've had some dour scoring roles in their first season who can then break out in their second.
Speaking of second year breakouts, who have you got, Liam?
Yeah, I've gone with Izzy Bacon from Richmond. So basically basement price. She's priced at 321K. Played a handful of games last year. I'm just going off the fact that reports seem to suggest that she's looking excellent in preseason. And I also think that there are points to be had at Richmond. I think we kind of know that there is some scoring available with Sheeran moving out of that side. She was always someone who looked to stream through the contest. Izzy Bacon was a natural midfielder as a junior. I'm really having to take a stab here because we just don't have that much information on rookie price players in defense. So I'm very happy to say that Izzy Bacon is on my watch list. But it's one that I'm going to be almost completely reliant on the preseason for most of the rookie picks in defense.
Well, it's interesting you say that because we may have got some insight into that in our Richmond episode. Izzy Bacon was well talked up by our special surprise guests who you'll hear from very soon. Also another defender, so that's a good sign.
Just on Bacon, I think she's got a bit of an average boost to have because her score of 24.8 includes two single-digit numbers from last season. So we do like to see that. That 4 and an 8 can definitely be improved upon.
Hard to be worse.
Very much so.
And then Will.
Yeah, I've gone for someone at the complete other end of the age spectrum. I've gone for Mua Laluifi, who looked to be giving a bit of experience to a young Bulldogs team last year and then very unfortunately did the knee. So it'll be basically coming in priced almost bottom price, just above at 307K. Not necessarily a massive score, but pretty much in most of the full seasons that Mua's played, she's averaged around that 40-ish mark, which means if she does get that role as an experienced player down there, they'll probably look to give her a bit of the ball. So should be able to make you a quick buck.
Speaking of players that have done basically the same, which is like they're coming in off injuries and have kind of averaged 40 before, Annabelle Johnson at West Coast did her ACL, has also been like a low 40s averaging player in the past. I think she's like a supersized rookie price. So I think she's like mid 400K. I still think that like that's a name to have on the list. And then one player that like is a massive mistake for not actually me mentioning, and that's Eleanor Brown at GWS, who has been someone that had scoring potential even when she came into the league relatively young and played a couple of seasons, then has missed the past two. So comes in with a massive discount. So she's done in her like the last three seasons she's played at the Western Bulldogs, she had averages of 54, 50, and 44. Given how cheap she is, I think she's like just over 420K. I'm real big on Ellie Brown, because I actually think that GWS needs someone who, given that they refuse to play Tani Evans down there, and it's devastating that I can't even talk about her properly in this episode. Given that they need that kind of steady hand and foot, they've lost a bunch of players in their defense, and Izzy Huntington's quite often out. I think Brown is absolutely a rookie to be considering and probably building your defensive structure out of.
Wow. So the last player we mentioned on our run of undervalued primos, mid-price options and cash cows is the one to be building your defensive structure on. Love it.
She's
love
one of them. One of there. Them.
Nah, I heard it. You heard it here first. Well, speaking of locking things in, the next section is just running through our locks, and it's very, very early days to be talking about which players we're locking into our sides. But this is a good spot for any strong opinions we might have, with permission for them to change many times before the game starts. Will, who have you got?
I'm just going to lock in Tilly Lucas-Rod. they're the player I think will be the best scorer, so they are the player that I'll probably just slot in first.
I like it. And, I mean, you were the lead analyst on this episode and you put her first. You were the lead analyst on this episode and you put them first, so makes sense that they're your lock.
Yep, that's my logic. I'm sure that's going to change several times as my team goes through its various iterations, but for now, I'm happy with it.
Absolutely. I'm kind of thinking Emma Swanson, not necessarily as D1, but having a cheaper overall defensive line, I think there's a lot of value to be had in the forwards, and the defenders are kind of tricky, and there's quite a few in that like mid-priced range. So I'm thinking defenders might be a bit of a mid-price madness. I'd love to lock in like a Matty Gay or someone, but they are quite expensive. So I think Emma Swanson's my fave from this middle bunch, and then just go from there. And what about you, Liam?
Nothing. Nothing is locked in my defense. I hate all
no
of
defenders.
Eleanor Brown, apparently.
Well, like, honestly, yeah, but that comes with like the massive asterisk of like she's not played a game in three seasons. Like, I don't, two seasons. Like, it's a big risk to pick Ellie Brown. Like, I think it's probably Serene Watson, like, because I trust the fact that she's capable of averaging over 70, and that will give me, you know, enough value. But I think I'm quite keen on picking Jade Ellinger, but that's dependent on the role. I'm quite keen on either of the Bulldogs, but that's, again, dependent on the game plan that they get. I like Lily Postlethwaite, but I'm worried about the banana problem. Lucy Cronin, again, I don't know how much I trust the issues she's going to have at Collingwood. And then, like, Ellie Brown.
You sound like such a lawyer, Liam. Everything is draft.
Well, yeah, of course it is. It's hard. It's not like we've had some picks in the past where, like, yeah, nah, bang, you've got the midfield row. It's going to be awesome. Like, that's probably the thing we're actually missing the most. Right. Normally, we've got some like advance word on like this is going to be a midfielder this year. We're really lacking that now, and that's why I'm just like, I don't know. Like Serene Watson, like I didn't put it on the run sheet, but yes, that's my lock with very little conviction.
Basically, my biggest takeaway from this is that going forward, the banana problem is going to be a staple of our show.
That's definitely going to work its way in. It's you not just need to
make sure that Jono doesn't hear about this recording before we next record an episode, so that then he is left sitting there going, "What are you guys waffling on about?"
Yep, Jono, what's your opinion on the banana chat?
How many bananas is Serene Watson? Okay, great. This has been good. Hope everyone listening learned something or had some ideas to think about how you guys are going to structure up your own defensive line. We've just thrown a lot of ideas out there, nothing with too much confidence behind it. But, yeah, lots to be thinking about, lots of decisions to make. We will be continuing on with our club preview episodes, which you can find at Free Kick, wherever you get your podcasts. And next in our line-by-line series, we'll be talking about the midfielders. So stay tuned for that one as well. Thanks for listening, everyone. Chat to you later.
Beautiful. Catch everyone.
See ya.